Please, and turn with me, the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Proverbs chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 1. It's so good to be here on this first Sunday of the year. It's good to know that God's meeting with us. Amen. Sense His presence. I want to preach a message. You know, normally I don't give titles to messages other than what the Scripture would say, and try to take most of my sermon titles from Scripture references. But I want to preach this morning on making it great in 2008. I'm not one for fancy titles, and that's not really a fancy title. But it sure is different coming out of my mouth, and I felt funny even talking about it. Making it great in 2008. And I want you to know this could be the greatest year in your life, the life of this church. And I want us to look in the Bible and see some things this morning. May the Lord help us. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for what you have already done in our hearts and lives this morning. We thank you, Lord, for every song that's been sung, words of testimony. We thank you for our Sunday school hour. But now, Lord, as we come to the time of the preached word, I pray that you'll prepare us, prepare our hearts, our lives, our minds, to hear what we need to hear. Help me to say what needs to be said. Lord, help us to respond at the end of the service according to thy will. Give us grace and strength. And Lord, may thy precious mercy be real to us and thy grace be real to us. I need you, Lord. I can't do this by myself. I can say all kinds of words, but Lord, please fill me with the power of the Spirit of God and help us to hear what you would have for us today. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's no doubt the Lord has blessed us and He's given us great things and honored us in so many ways. This year we've seen people saved, we've seen people baptized, we've seen folks join the church, families and individuals become a part of this church, and we could go on and on about the things that we've seen and the things that have been accomplished. And the church has given, the Lord's given us a great year. But what makes up the church, this local assembly? How many times have we given the definition of a church? The Bible is so clear on the churches in the Bible being local churches, local gatherings. It's a body of baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That's a simple definition of a church. So when we think about what makes up the church, we realize it's individuals, each person, you, me, we make up this church. And when I think about that, I have to ask some questions. I ask the questions, have we reached our potential as a church? I ask, have we accomplished all that we should have accomplished? Have we reached every soul that we should reach? Have we arrived at the place where we're supposed to arrive And I believe the answer to all these questions are no. It doesn't mean that we failed. It just means there's more to do. There's more souls to be reached. There's more things to be accomplished. We can step out and take the next step in our life as a Christian. There's things that needs to be done, and God has placed us here to do these things. And if we're going to do for God as a church the things that He wants for us to do, then it's going to take us as individuals to do these things. You know, we could talk about the church. The church is not a building. You realize this building can do nothing other than house people? This building can't reach one soul. This building can't sing one song. It can't preach one message. All it is bricks and mortar and wood and sheetrock and paint and glass. That's all it is. It's just a building. But inside this building is the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the living God. And God has placed us here in this place, in this location, to do a mighty work for Him. To reach the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The year 2008 is upon us. When we enter this year, we're going to realize there's new challenges and there's more obstacles. Trials and tribulations, no doubt, are going to come our way. But not only are we going to see obstacles, we're going to see opportunities. We're in a time of opportunity. And for us as individuals to take advantage of the opportunities, there are things that we must take note of. I want you to know what the Bible says in verse 13, 14, and 15. It says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And then it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. And I believe there are some things that we ought to avoid this year. Some things that we ought to not pass by, things we ought to turn from and pass away. So if you want this year to be a great year for you, a great year for this congregation of believers, I want to give you four things that needs to be avoided this year. Four things that you need to pass by and not let them be a part of your life. Four things, simple things. 2 hours and we'll be out of here. We need to avoid the year of having an unsaved soul. An unsaved soul. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I think about this passage of Scripture in the book of Mark. I realize in this congregation of people, there are many that already are saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Heaven's going to be your home. It's a wonderful thought to be able to give that testimony, isn't it? To be able to stand up and say, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt, if I were to die today, heaven would be my home. I'd walk on a street of gold. I'd see gates of pearl. I'd see walls of jasper. I'd dip my feet in the crystal river. I am saved. I have been born again. But in this congregation of people this morning, there could be that one that's never trusted Christ. You're living for the world. You're living for what you can have. You're living for what you can accomplish. You're living for what you can attain. But I want you to know, dear friends, that you've gained nothing. You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your own soul, then you have nothing. And you need to avoid living this year with an unsaved soul. The rich man, the Bible teaches us, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Look, he had it all, you would think, according to the world. He had wealth, he had health until he died. That means he wasn't healthy anymore, right? I was reading a story of one person who said he had put on that his epitaph was going to be, I told you I was sick. I thought so many times, I've read some humorous epitaphs. But I realized that so many people think that having, getting, attaining is what it's all about. But the Bible teaches us in the New Testament about a rich man. And the Bible says that Lazarus, that he could just eat from he just wanted crumbs from the table. You think about it. There were people there that was just desiring the crumbs from this rich man's table. And everybody thought, boy, I'd sure like to be like him. Some of you no doubt have said, boy, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. I'd like to be able to go here. I'd like to be able to go there. Well, we all have dreams like that. You know, it wouldn't bother me if I had $1 million in the bank. But I'd rather be dirt poor and know Jesus Christ is my Savior than have all the wealth of this world and not know Him. This rich man, if you look at the contrast between the Lazarus and the rich man, you're going to see that Lazarus had nothing according to the standards of the world. Lazarus was poor. Lazarus, everybody looked at him. No doubt they laughed at him and mocked him and said, look at the clothes he wears and look at at where he lives and look at this and look at that. But then they looked over and they saw the rich man and said, boy, look at what he has. Look at the fine jewelry he wears. Look at the nice silk suits that he wears. Look at all the beautiful clothes that he has. Look at the wonderful chariots he has and the big nice barns full of horses. Look at all that he has. But there was a day that his life in this world was over. His horses did nothing for him. His chariots did nothing for him. His silk did nothing for him. But here was that poor Lazarus who was begging just for the crumbs from the master's table. And the Bible teaches us that when Lazarus died, that he got to go and to be with the Lord and to walk on streets of gold and to see the beauties of heaven. But when the rich man died, the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Do you understand? Do you understand that it's a tragedy to live with an unsaved soul? You can do what you think and you can put all these goals before you. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're missing out on the best. There's nothing more valuable than your soul. Your soul is eternal. There's no end to it. And the unsaved soul will be eternally in hell. Lake of fire. What a terrible thought. There's only one way to avoid having an unsaved soul. And that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to know there's power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible teaches us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, you need to avoid having an unsaved soul this year. And what a day to get it right. The first Sunday of the year 2008. What a day to say, I've got it settled once and for all. Some of you played church. Some of you played games. Some of you played religion. You just acted like you were something. But in your heart, it's never been settled that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that heaven's going to be your home. I'm glad to tell you, dear friends, I don't have a maybe-so or a hope-so salvation. I have a no-so salvation. This record have I given unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What we need to realize today is there is no victory outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as a believer, you need to get it settled. You need to be secured in your belief that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that heaven's going to be your home. Then you can accomplish something for God. So we need to avoid the unsaved soul. I thought about how that would sound. Avoid the unsaved soul. And I thought, boy, that don't sound right, does it? We need to avoid having an unsaved soul. But we don't need to avoid the unsaved souls. We need to go after them, right? We need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing we need to avoid is we need to avoid unattended services. It's first Sunday of the year. You didn't think I was going to miss out on this opportunity, did you? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Write that down. Make note of it. Make reference to it. I know I preach on it all the time, but the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I hear so many people say things like, I want a closer walk. I want to know more about the things of God. I'd like to know God's will. I hear others say things like, I battle this sin, or I have this problem, and I like to overcome it. And many times, the people that I talk to are Sunday morning Christians at best. I realize some people can't make it, some people's health, some people can't drive it. Now, I understand all those things, and God knows about that. And you're going to stand before the Lord with it all. So please don't think I'm standing in judgment of you. But there are so many of us that have health enough, ability enough, that we can be in God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We are in control of these things. And the Bible says not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. You say, but preacher, it's so hard, three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Well, let's go back to the New Testament. Let's see what they did. The Bible says daily they would meet. Whew. Be rough to have to go to church every day, wouldn't it? Listen to that preacher preach every day. Be awful. Have to see this old face. Imagine what my wife has to live with. Bless her heart, somebody said. The Lord's blessed her. He made her blind with love. Hallelujah for that. But I think about this. I look around, you know, and I see what's going on in this world. And I know people that will go and do a leisure activity every day. They'll be involved with so many things every day. They go to work every day. Why do you go to work? You want your paycheck, right? You eat every day. Every day. Do you eat every day? Some of us more than others. And you think, boy, I know some people think, boy, if I miss a meal, I'm going to die. Yeah, I talk to people, I'm shaking. So, what's wrong? Well, I haven't eaten since breakfast. It's just 11 o'clock, you know? I can't make it. They think I can't make it. But you think you can live without coming to the house of God. You think you can make it just every now and then showing up. This is not going to be a great year for you if you don't avoid the unattended services. You ought to determine this year that you're going to be more faithful to the house of God. As God gives you the ability, you're going to be as faithful as you can possibly be. God gives clear instructions of what He expects of His children. We'll never know God's will or learn many of the things that He wants until we become faithful in assembling ourselves together. I've talked to people, it's not been this way here, but other churches I've pastored and talked with other people, and I've talked with people that want positions, they want to be used of God. You know, they say, boy, I'd like to have a Sunday school class, or I'd like to be a leader in the church, I'd like to be a deacon. I've never understood why any man want to be a deacon. I mean, want to be, it's chosen by the church, you understand what I'm saying. Never really understood that. But people say, I'd want to be a deacon. And then I talk to them and they're not even faithful to the house of God. Look, here it is. Now let's just get it all. Let's just clear off a spot. Let's tell it like it is. If you're the pastor, youth director, Sunday school teacher, choir director, deacon, any position you have in the church, you're expected Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. No questions asked. That's just the way it is. It's how it's supposed to be. Now, if you're sick, we understand. But you understand what I'm saying today? We're more committed. Look, you say, well, I have to work. Well, if you want the blessings of God, you have to be faithful to church. There's no gray there. It's black and white. You understand that God is trying to help us. He's not trying to put rules and stipulations. And by the way, I'm not putting rules on certain things. I'm just saying if you want the blessings of God, you need to be faithful to the house of God. If you want to be a good husband, a good wife, a good son, a good daughter, then you ought to be faithful to the house of God. you want to be a good mother, a good father, if you want to be all these things, you need to be faithful to the house of God. Because the Bible teaches us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Lee Robertson was a pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church for many years, 42 years. He had a theme. And boy, he had just over and over and over, he'd say this theme. Three to thrive, he'd say. If you want to thrive, you've got to be here three times a week, at least three times a week. Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, there's no doubt about it. If you want to be blessed by God, if you want to thrive spiritually, you've got to be here three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't miss it. Don't miss any service. Don't miss Sunday morning. Don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss Sunday evening. Don't miss Wednesday night. I mean, he just pressed it and pressed it and pressed it and pressed it. Had this church that seated thousands of people, thousands. I mean, I'm talking about big sanctuary. Seat more than Idlewild seats. Seat probably more than Without Walls. I don't know how many they seat down there. Don't really want to know. Seat more than a lot of the churches you think of. But do you realize Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they filled their auditorium. The choir stayed up, and they had to bring chairs and put three times a week. That was the heyday of the church. That was the time when they were reaching people. Look, you couldn't go anywhere in Chattanooga without being associated with somebody that had been saved through that ministry of Highland Park Baptist Church, through the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson. You want to know why? Because they determined they were going to be faithful to the things of God. And by the way, one of the simplest things we can do as Christians is to be faithful to church. You know? You may not be able to teach. You may not be able to sing. You may not be able to lead a choir. You may not be able to do a lot of things, but you can be faithful. I thought we'd have shouting on that. If you want to thrive spiritually, you have to avoid the unattended services. The third thing you must avoid, and I must hurry, we need to avoid having an unkind spirit. Having an unkind spirit. I want you to notice what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Do you realize that we're not going to make a difference in this world if we have an unkind or a mean spirit? You ever met preachers with mean-spirited? I don't like them. I'll just be honest with you. I don't care about being around them. You know, they get up and they preach mean. They talk to people and they're mean. I've been out to eat with preachers before and been so embarrassed by the time I left. And I thought, boy, I don't think I could ever win that person to the Lord. And look, I know how it is. Sometimes you get to maybe go to a restaurant and a waiter sitting everything she ought to be, or a waiter eating everything he ought to be, and before you know it, you just turned on him. And I've asked God to help me with that. There's no place for an unkind spirit. You know what Jesus said? If they slap you in the face, turn the other cheek. That's kind. Some of us need to work on that, don't we? I could probably name a few people in here. But we won't. If you're sitting there thinking, please don't name a preacher, then you probably know who I'm talking about. You. But anyway. And there's times I do that. I just don't think we have to compromise, but we can be kind. We don't have to compromise, but you can be kind. I found out I can disagree with somebody and be kind about it. Honestly. You know, I can see it. I've talked with people, and we differed in opinions, and I've had them so mad at me. Honestly. You know, they thought I was the devil. And I just go and say, well, you know, you have a right to your opinion, but I have a right to mine. There's no reason to be unkind. Let's avoid having an unkind spirit. You know that person that gets under your skin at work? Some of you are thinking about, or your neighbor, Or somebody at the grocery store, I don't know. Some of us, you know, you're not in the work. But you just think, don't be unkind to them. Just love them to Jesus. Get them to the point to where you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Be kind to them. Kill them with kindness. Amen? They might just fall over dead one day because you've been so kind to them. It'd be out of your way, wouldn't it? Just kidding. I think about this. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So you know what happens when we have that kind of spirit? When we have that bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice? The Bible says we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, we're not allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives. So the Bible says, to combat that, we are to be, the Bible says, be a kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'm telling you, if you want to be able to give for others, just start thinking about all that God forgave you of when He washed your sins away through the blood of Calvary's Lamb, and realize the hell that He brought you out of and the heaven that you're headed to, and begin to understand that we're not worthy of the life that we have, but Jesus Christ washed our sins away, forgave us of all of our sins, and it'll help us to deal with others. We deal with a lot of people walking up and down the streets here. We've had people come, and I mean, I've had people demand things. But I want to promise you something. I've never been unkind to one of them. Never. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord. Because every time somebody comes and starts saying, you're a church, you ought to do this, I just realize they've never met the same Lord that I've met. And if I'm ever going to be able to talk to them about the Lord, I have to be kind to them. Kind spirit will overcome a whole lot of our inabilities. I don't have great abilities. So I've asked the Lord to help me to be kind in my life. How can we win souls if we first of all can't get along with brothers and sisters in Christ? I think about that sometimes. Some of us are unkind one to another. Listen, there's some of you said things that are hateful to people. Hateful about people. Can I say something in all kindness? Just keep your mouth shut. If you can't say something nice, you say, well, that wasn't very kind. Well, I broke the rule for once. I'm just saying, we need to learn to be kind one to another. We have to do this. And I'm looking at our church, and I'm realizing that God's given us the year 2008. If He don't return soon, we're going to have a whole other year. And before you know it, you know what you're going to be saying? I can't believe it's Christmas. I can't believe the year 2008 is gone. Look, I'm still living in 1990, you know? I can't believe it's 2008. These gray hairs are gaining on me, you know? There's going to be more gray than there is whatever color my hair is. My wife says black, I say brown, but she's right, I'm sure. Having an unkind spirit, avoid it. And fourthly, let's avoid having unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. An unsaved soul, unattended services, unkind spirit. Let's avoid having unconfessed sin. The psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God hates sin. He hates it. And I want you to understand that unconfessed sin in our lives obviously affects our ability to serve the Lord. Not only that, it also affects other people's lives. Do you realize sin in your life affects everyone else around you? Do you think that your sin, just one person, could make much difference in people's lives? You having sin? Well, do I need to remind you what the Bible says in Romans 5, verse number 12? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Your sin affects others. Oh, yes. When you're living in sin, you come into this church, you're a part of this church, part of this fellowship. It affects our church. Why? You say, well, how can it do it? Well, it may not make something bad happen to me, but it'll keep you from being able to pray for me. It'll be able to keep you from enjoying the services. It will keep you from being able to rejoice in the Lord when somebody gets saved. That's what sin does. Sin is a tragedy. There's nothing good about sin. Because the Bible teaches us at the end of sin, there's death. Look, I've dealt with sin in my life. I battle it every day that I live. And I'm not standing up here trying to point to y'all and say you're sinners. And I'm telling you, we're all sinners. And we all battle sin. But thank God the Bible teaches us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's given us an avenue. He's not given us the right to sin. But if we do, the Bible says we can confess our sins. And that He'll be faithful and just to forgive. That's a wonderful passage that God has given us in the Bible. Sin gets us out of fellowship with God. And the longer we keep unconfessed sin in our lives, the further out of fellowship we get. And before you know it, you're miserable. Look, I have talked to so many people. It just started out simply, you can't classify sin. Sin is sin. Small, big, there's no classification. God hates it all. But let's just say somebody just misses a Sunday or two of church. And that's a sin when we miss of our own will and our own accord. And they miss. And then you begin to talk to them. And then finally, you know, you talk to them and they've missed. And then they miss again. And then they miss again. And then they miss again. And before you know it, they're miserable. And they say things like, "Preacher, I can't find any joy. I'm just not happy." Well, get it right. Well, how do I do that? Confess. Not to me. I don't want to hear it. Because if you've wronged me, I can forgive you for wronging me. But the Bible says we're to confess our sins to the Lord. And unconfessed sins is something that we must avoid. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter number 2, we've seen 1 John 1, 9, but the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins," and I love this, "and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Of course, we know that 1 John's written to believers. And as he's writing this, as John is writing this, he says that he's the propitiation for our sins, but not just for ours, but for the whole world. You know what he's teaching us right there? You need to get your heart right with God. You need to get your sins cleansed. But don't stand in judgment of everybody else that's out in the world that doesn't know me, because I died for them too. Jesus died for their sins too. He's the substitute for all these. So this year could be a great year. Making it great in 2008. Well, how can we make it great? By avoid having an unsaved soul. By avoiding unattended services. By avoiding having an unkind spirit. By avoiding having unconfessed sin. Why don't we start today, this first Sunday of the year? Why don't we take care of some of these problem areas today and avoid these things that can bring harm to your life? Today, let's deal with it. And let's make it great in 2008. And let's ask God to work and God to move and God to manifest Himself to us. Or some of you, I could stand up here and I could tell you, you need to deal with this. You say, "Why? Are you the judge?" I'm not the judge, and I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just saying I know. There's some of you I know that battle certain things, and I'm not saying it's bad. I battle certain things too, and you could probably tell me, "You need to deal with this, preacher." I'm just saying we need to be honest with ourselves and honest before God, because God already knows. And let's be faithful, be obedient in responding to what the Lord has spoken to us about today. Let's pray together. Father, we Thank you for the time you've given to us. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for your love. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we've listened to these passages of Scripture,